You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello everyone, this is another edition of the Daily Nationalist. I am Matthew Raphael Johnson, and this should be coming out on the 4th of July, 2024. I'm not going to get involved in any of the historical issues of July 4th, although I've done that in the past. I'm also not going to talk about a topic that, or the topics that most people are talking about now. I want to talk about something even more fundamental and isn't getting the attention it received a few years ago, and that is the fall of Boeing, that pillar of the American defense establishment that has been rocked to its core since the crash, or the two crashes, one from Lion, from Indonesia, and the other Ethiopian Airlines back in, I think it was 2018. I've been spending quite a bit of time recently going over the nature of all of this and what Boeing is, because it's not just a huge corporation, only really one of two that create commercial or build commercial airliners, but as I've already said, a pillar of the American defense industry. So this is no ordinary company. These are no ordinary oligarchs. More recently, as I think some of you might know, there have been several whistleblowers, people who have brought company secrets to the attention of the media anyway, who have died or have been threatened, two in particular, talking about possibly the reason for this litany of disasters that began with those two huge crashes. And there's more than just that. There are families of Marines that are suing Boeing over the Osprey issue. We're talking about the V-22 that's been involved in one disaster after another. The V-22 is that odd-looking mix between a helicopter and a turboprop aircraft. Now, the Boeing disaster, Boeing's agony, is getting to the heart of many things. If you've seen some of the leftist leftist screeds against corporate America as if they're not really one body, very naively condemning Boeing for caring only about profits, as if oligarchs aren't guaranteed that, and not getting into the heart of the matter. So for the next 30 minutes or so, we will get into the heart of the matter as much as that's possible. There have been several whistleblowers talking about the company just refusing to consider, or at least not taking seriously, certain major safety issues. Another potential one was fired. I got a lot of this from RT, which has been better than a lot of other places, talking about the 787 Dreamliner plane, that they're being built very poorly. And over the last few years, they've been under intense scrutiny, especially after the Alaska Airlines flight, January, a couple of years ago, that tore the door off this huge gaping hole in the fuselage. And this whistleblower's name, Richard Cuevas, who was a contractor for Sprint Aero Systems, which is one of the many smaller companies under Boeing's aegis. He said he witnessed holes being drilled improperly into the 787 at the Kansas facility. And this is last year, 2023. And that was it was done very poorly, compromising power and air pressure on the plane, safety risks all over the place. And he filed a complaint with Boeing and Spirit in 2023 about this substandard process. Boeing said, we've investigated it, and he's exaggerating. So you have the 737 MAX in particular. The first two crashes, the first two real big ones, came from that. Then the 787 Dreamliner and the 777, all of them have been the subject of FAA inquiries. And in 2021, the Dreamliners were, all deliveries were halted, and that there's apparently systemic quality control issues. Now, the two big crashes of 2018 and 2019 that I've already mentioned from the 737 MAX killed almost 350 people. And there's criminal charges where Boeing has admitted that there was a design flaw in the software of, so we'll get into that in a minute, not the hardware. So as it stands now, Boeing will avoid a criminal trial if they agree to plead guilty to fraud, actually, involving those two 737 MAX accidents. There were two separate 337 MAX 8 crashes. I mentioned Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines. Just over 5 months, they'll be fined, if they accept it, $243 million on top of another $243 million it paid back in 2021. And then an independent monitor to audit Boeing safety and compliance practices. Victims' families seem to reject this. This is too much of a sweetheart deal. But in 2021, Boeing paid almost $3 billion in an agreement with the Department of Justice, because Boeing admitted that they had deceived the FAA about the flight control system linked with these crashes that was malfunctioning. In May, Joshua Dean has died, who was one of the first to raise the alarm over the 737. He died of a sudden and severe illness. In March, again, both of them this year, John Barnett was found dead in a hotel parking lot, which they claim was a suicide. In 2019, Barnett said to the BBC that workers under intense pressure had been deliberately fitting substandard parts right on the production line. He discovered serious problems in the oxygen systems, that masks won't work in an emergency, and he was at the South Carolina facility, and that Boeing was under such pressure to push planes out that they were just throwing it together, in essence. The component tracking system was deliberately sabotaged, so you couldn't find out where substandard parts would go. Even scrap bins were being pilfered to use to build these planes. In the 787, he saw a failure rate of 25% in the oxygen mass department. So these are serious matters, depending on how much of them are true. The media loves this kind of thing. Now, both Dean and Barnett are dead. We're talking about Barnett. Now, this is Dean. He was the quality auditor at Spirit AeroSystems. He was in good health. He was intubated, developed pneumonia, and had a staph infection. Very fast-spreading, antibiotic-resistant. He was only 45. He was in very good health. In fact, was into health-related issues. He exercised and all the rest of it. He was the one who filed a complaint with the FAA when Boeing, or his employer, the subsidiary, Spirit AeroSystems, and they fired him in 2023. Strangely enough, on the grounds of he was missing major flaws, which is, you know, par for the course for some of these companies. April of this year, another whistleblower named Sam Salapour, an engineer at Boeing, he addressed the Senate that he had been talking about safety concerns for a very long time, but because it's under such pressure to move planes at a certain price, military and otherwise, that these things were being slapped together, which certainly isn't in Boeing's interest, which is a separate issue altogether. and that he says he's been threatened. I don't know if there's any evidence for that. Boeing said, you know, the 13 years of the service of that plane, the 787, has transported 850 million passengers on more than 4 million flights. The 777, 3.9 billion passengers around the world safely. I'm not coming to the defense of Boeing here in any respect, but there is no doubt that they're in serious trouble, to the point where RT reports that they can't even get another CEO. Because I think the guy's name was Calhoun. He resigned, and there's no one who wants to take over his position, no matter how much money they offer him. Boeing's reputation has been destroyed. You know, we talked on this show and on Orthodox Nationalists about severe supply problems for the U.S. military. That giving away, and because, you know, 18, 17, 18, 19, that was before the war in Ukraine. But that supply problems starting with the war in 2022 have forced the military-industrial complex to push as hard as it can go. Clearly, there were problems in the company prior to this, but more recently, and also with the Osprey issue from the Marine Corps, there is tremendous pressure on them, and this is part of what oligarchy is. You don't have a whole lot of competition. The company is controlled not by engineers, we may get to that here in a minute, but by financiers who know nothing about aviation. Now, many of our people have come out and rightly, Elon Musk, who's not one of our people, but have come out and talked about the fact that Boeing is not merely a huge part of the regime. It is. It's not only a huge pillar in the defense establishment. It is. But is also, as a member of the regime, part of the leftist agenda. And they became obsessed with diversity and inclusion and all of this nonsense. And not just Boeing. But Boeing operates under pressure from the FAA, especially hiring people with mental disabilities, to think that this isn't going to have real effects is absurd. Boeing is an extremely anti-white corporation. It wasn't that long ago, actually, where the Japanese Airlines Boeing 737-800 saw a crack in the cockpit window. Things that don't happen too often. Fairly new plane. It's just incident after incident after incident. Elon Musk was the one who put the spotlight on this. Corporate executives of Boeing are getting bonuses not for profits or for production targets. They're getting bonuses for diversity and inclusion. Boeing came right out, and I think I've mentioned it before. Boeing's just one of many corporations like this, pushing the most anti-white diversity you can imagine. Even they use the word diverse to mean non-white, non-male. But they even said severe disabilities, people with severe, not just disabilities, severe disabilities. Those people are underrepresented in the federal workforce. Now that's the FAA, something that Boeing also fully agreed to. So the FAA is putting pressure on places like Boeing to put special emphasis in recruitment and hiring, having to do with people with hearing, vision, missing limbs, partial paralysis, complete paralysis, epilepsy, severe intellectual disabilities, psychiatric disabilities, even dwarfism, and that's a quote, by the way, to fill vacancies with such people. And that they should be hired in an expedited manner. Again, another quote directly from them, that this is integral. Somehow the FAA says that hiring these people among your traditional non-whites, that this is integral to achieving its mission of safe and efficient travel across our nation and beyond. And can you imagine being the person who had to write that nonsense? That companies need to install special equipment and everything else. But the FAA and, of course, Boeing went right along with it, started at least in 2015, if not before. They're a leftist company. They support leftist issues. Elon Musk said back in January 15th of this year, who came right out and said, I cannot believe this is happening. But the FAA talked about this to Fox News, that They were trying to get their hands on qualified candidates with these qualities. The FAA, of course, is also in charge of overseeing corporations, not just in terms of flight and disasters, but in terms of production. And this is how people, I don't know, Airbus, I'm assuming Airbus is the same way in Europe, but Boeing came out and said, these are our press groups. And others, of course, showing common sense, says that they are going to destroy this industry, or at least badly damage it. Now, of course, the major media refuses to talk about this, but according to Boeing's documents, Musk mentioned this, a few others, that the DEI, so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion, which comes straight out of BlackRock and the left in general, that's a important metric when they judge the performance of their executives and deciding their incentives. They put out in 2022 a global diversity and inclusion report saying that their intern class was the most diverse in our company's history, more than half from underrepresented backgrounds, and that their supply chain needs to be diverse and inclusive, which is just another way of saying non-white and female. And of course, there is no sense of qualifications. These whistleblowers, who starting in 2018 were pointing out these problems, one of the reasons that Boeing didn't approach it from a quality point of view was that their money and incentives were going to precisely the targets fixed either by the federal apparatus, the FAA, which is a part of it, or the diversity and inclusion things in general. That was their focus. And it's getting people killed. We know this. BlackRock and Vanguard, I guess State Street is a smaller one. They own about not quite 20% of Boeing. And they were the ones that I've been talking about for a long time. They pushed this on all the companies that they own. Companies were doing this anyway. But the Jewish BlackRock organization has been pushing it since they control the economy harder than had ever been the case before. Voting in their world revolves around this kind of thing. To think that this doesn't have real effects downstream is laughable. Objective merit isn't an issue, since getting their qualifications is also based on these kind of DEI goals. You know, the Gateway Pundit has mentioned this, even the Epoch Times, United Airlines is doing the exact same thing now. United CEO Scott Kirby, who I think is still there, came right out and said the company is not seeking fully qualified candidates. They have a 50% quota for women, no matter how privileged they might be, and they are privileged, non-whites in their aviator academy classes. Same thing for Delta. They say that when they capitalize black and brown when they're talking about race, but never white, as if to emphasize their second-class status in the industry. Of course, this entire industry was founded by white males. That's not an accident. But we're talking about, and this is, you know, we all know the Biden who ran the FAA. We all know who that man is from Indiana, Buttigieg, who was one of many to come up with this, including the severe intellectual disabilities issue. There has been an increase in accidents since Biden was installed in office, not elected. And, of course, in the mainstream press, none of this has come up. You know, the Palestine issue, East Palestine, Ohio, etc. But there's a reason that maybe, you know, flying these days might not be the best of ideas unless you have no other choice. But the very fact that the DEI issue is one of the main categories for executive remuneration, and Boeing's filing says, while our 2021 design incorporated operational performance in the areas of product safety, employee safety, and quality, for 2022, we will add two other focus areas critical to our long-range business plan, climate and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And incentive bonuses are tied to that, among other things. Now, that plays a role, but that is not the only factor. Of course, it plays a role. You have to be an idiot not to realize that plays a huge role. A few years ago, Netflix put out Downfall, the case against Boeing. About a 90-minute attack on them right after the crashes of 2018-2019. I've already mentioned these. In October of 2018, the Lion Air Flight 610 went down to the Java Sea just a few minutes after takeoff, killing everyone on board. And Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 brought down in the same way just 4 or 5 months later. Now, what the left is saying is that since the only thing that Boeing's executives have to do is increase shareholder value, which we know now is not true, they're willing to cut corners. There was even a Jacobin article in that journal saying Boeing is willing to kill us all in exchange for shareholder value, which is slightly an exaggeration, since none of this is in the interests of Boeing. But I've said 100 times over that the specific structure of the American Western oligarchy is anti-white, with its strong Judaic background. But Downfall, which was a pretty good, if only limited, analysis. Boeing went, you know, it traces Boeing's history from what was a fairly admired company to now a complete disaster. And one of the key factors is in the mid-90s, I want to say 97, Boeing bought McDonnell Douglas. And so a new management team was brought in to financialize the company. So engineers weren't at the controls anymore, so to speak. They also claimed that quality control staff were laid off en masse. Engineers and their unions completely ignored over every concern from a group of people who were concerned with finance, not production quality. These were people, you know, like BlackRock, who own hundreds and hundreds of industries and hundreds of sectors. A place like Boeing, no matter how powerful it is still just one blip on their radar. It was deliberate, or so they say, that they moved the company's headquarters from Seattle to Chicago to get them physically away from the factory floor, especially the white-collar labor. This is around the time whistleblowers began to arrive and to shut up. The guy who wrote in Jacobin in 2022, Nathan Akehurst, he wrote this. He said, "What Downfall hints at, but doesn't cover in detail, is that this is far from just a story about one unscrupulous aircraft manufacturer. One does not need to romanticize post-war capitalism to recognize that the Boeing tale, the subordination of all other aims to short-term shareholder value, the appointment of managers proudly ignorant about what the business produces, and the resulting fall in quality, is common across many institutions. So, too, is the devaluation of workers' expertise, the silence or ignoring of doubters, the declawing of regulators, and the presentation of workers' concerns about safety issues as self-interested barriers to innovation, progress, and the dynamism of modern business." Akehurst, I think, is more correct than he realizes. I don't know to what extent he's deliberately covering over the so-called diversity issues, but to have managers, as he says, proudly ignorant about what the business produces and the resulting fall in quality, well, that would be very closely connected with the diversity, the DEI nonsense. And that is common across many, if not all, blue chip stock companies. The devaluation of workers' expertise, well, that might be a very nice way of deflecting. But the devaluation of workers' expertise has everything to do with the implementation of these programs. And the declawing of regulators, well, that might be true in terms of quality, not in terms of the anti-white fanaticism that corporate America is engaged with. The rejection of work, when we talk about worker, we're not talking about someone with a sledgehammer. We're talking with the engineers, the designers, high-level workers, they're not owners, but high-level workers who are the intellectual core, the engineering core of something like Boeing, which is extraordinary. You know, they employ an army of these people, but there is no reason to believe that the DEI stuff doesn't affect them too. So if you have a more financially motivated corporate government they're not either going to know, understand, or even care about these kind of detailed things. It's the financialization that matters, but that's also connected to the DEI stuff. And given the nature of, you know, BlackRock ownership of some of this stuff, the financialization, the concern, you know, some of these companies are transforming themselves into being involved in the financial industry, which goes along with, you know, they've also been, Boeing's been hugely involved in outsourcing. And short-term profit does matter. And that would at least partially explain why these ridiculous events don't seem to be to have an impact on the company when very competent people have pointed out the problems. This is the nature of liberalism and neoliberalism. This is the nature of postmodern capitalism. This is in an era of intensive technological progress in that regard when it comes to workplace monitoring and surveillance. Well, they say that in the Jacobin article, but we all know that by their very incentive structure, certain people are going to come under surveillance more than others. Workers being constantly watched, and yet these failures happen no matter what. And of course, Netflix isn't going to talk about that, racially speaking, whatever. But there's nothing. This is, you know, downfalls about one company, a company that now is in not just financial trouble, reputational trouble, but worse, now in legal trouble. Boeing wasn't always like this. Back in RT, the founding of the firm Boeing in 1955, or the rise of Boeing in 1955. I don't know if it was founded then, but the guys who were willing to risk everything for innovation, of course, every one of them a white male, you know, working on the Dash 80, which was the prototype of the Boeing 707 on a dangerous test flight. This is a guy by the name of Alvin Johnston, who, you know, risked everything on this. It was a tri-motor plane. Well, I'm sorry, that he got a start on the tri-motor planes in Kansas. And he was hired as a test pilot here. The CEO at the time was Bill Allen. And they did this without any orders for this plane. In the early 50s, Boeing was at a crossroads. Yeah, prior to 1955, they were making military aircraft, but very little in terms of commercial aviation. Once the war, both Korea and World War II, was over, they had to make that switch. So by 55, Boeing was just starting as a commercial aviation company. Boeing's been around a lot longer than that. The CEO, Bill Allen, even bet his house and everything that he owned, including his corporate capital, on building a jet transport prototype. There were no orders for this plane. It was a huge risk. Failure would have meant the end of the company. You compare that kind of mentality with the diversity nonsense today, you have the situation. And from here, from the 707, came all the way up to the 747. But it was back in 57 when the 707 made its maiden flight. Boeing was an engineer-driven company, or so they say. The culture was innovation and competence, craftsmanship almost. It was a time in the 50s, 60s, where top managers held patents. They could talk shop with floor workers. This is prior to the development of our postmodern oligarchy. And some writers even say, as I mentioned, Henry Johnston, who wrote in RT, he wrote elsewhere on this topic, even in the mid-90s, the company's CFO didn't deal with Wall Street very much. But for a long time, this is what Boeing was. And I'm going to say again, and this is now the second time this is going to be mentioned. Here's what Henry Johnston wrote, and this is January of 2024. He said, the singular event cited as marking the beginning of Boeing's downfall was its 1997 merger with McDonnell Douglas, which put it on a collision course with a culture steeped in cost-cutting and financial performance. Somewhat perversely, although Boeing had acquired McDonnell, it was the latter that took over. McDonald's executives ended up running the company, and its culture became ascendant. Scores of cutthroat managers, battle-hardened in the company's perform-or-die culture, were brought in. A federal mediator once likened the partnership to hunter-killer assassins meeting Boy Scouts. So the Bill Allen, the 707 gamble that I mentioned above, to be steeped in the world of engineering and aeronautics. No. Now, starting in 97, you had a brand new group of people that were leftists in their politics, and they cared about finance, about moving up the value chain, maximizing shareholder value. It's odd that in that merger, it was Harry Stonecipher, who was the CEO of McDonald's, that took over. He didn't care about anything. He was cost-cutting. He was very harsh and got rid of anyone who didn't fit his agenda or didn't meet their financial targets. McDonnell Douglas' stock price went up under his tenure. And when he took over, you had a total transformation of Boeing, as he says, run by, from a company run by engineers to one that prized finance, short-term profit over everything, and will cut any cost imaginable to boost returns. Therefore, from that year on, the quality was severely compromised. Now you add the pressures of the American empire. You add the pressures of having to supply, starting in 2022, even before that actually, Ukraine and Israel, Taiwan, American material. You know, if you are on my Patreon page, I talk about all the accidents. And it's not just from Boeing, but many companies were driven in the same way in the defense industry. The collapse of military morale, at least in part, has to do with the collapse in equipment quality. That's not the only reason the U.S. has been losing, but it does play a role. These high-tech vehicles and weapon systems aren't performing the way they're supposed to, and they don't give a decisive edge. People like Henry Stonecipher were the problem. Now, many of you have heard my lecture on oligarchy, the nature of oligarchy in the West. I published that paper in a few different places. It's probably searchable. And of course, I put two lectures, actually, a part one and part two on the topic. And this lay at the core of it all. This aggressive capitalism began roughly in the early 70s. And it overwhelmed, as many have stated in the past, the civic impulse of capitalism. If we get a chance, we'll talk about Milton Friedman's article here in a little while. But when the U.S. began falling behind, globalization became the order of the day, which meant that short-term profits meant a heck of a lot more than quality. You didn't have engineers running places like Boeing, or they were on their way out. Now, Boeing lasted longer than others, but just understand what this means for the American empire, let alone capitalism. After World War II, between the end of the Second World War and, say, the early 80s, American companies were finding themselves simply non-competitive. You had vertically integrated American companies who used to retain and reinvest, which is something that a manufacturing dominant economy will promote, to downsize and distribute, which comes from William Lazonik, an economist. That's when things become financialized and people are running these companies who have no conception of what the companies produce. And they're the same people who are leftist in politics because they don't understand what quality means. The left made its peace with postmodern capitalism and instead focusing on race and gender and, you know, so-called diversity nonsense. The factory floor gives way to the trading floor. An incredible 92, and we're talking about Boeing again here, starting in, let's say, 2000, maybe a little bit before then, it has directed 92% of its cash flow back to shareholders in the forms of either dividends or buybacks. This is a terrible sign. Since 98, at least, the company has spent almost $70 billion in share buybacks. That's what? 5 airplane programs. But Wall Street doesn't need things, it needs dividends. But that's completely unsustainable. Buybacks, as I've talked about many times in the past, are a terrible sign. So as it stands now, I think it was January of this year, January of 2024, the FAA temporarily prohibited Boeing from expanding the 737 MAX, citing safety concerns. And I mentioned that. It was in January of this year that the Alaskan Airlines lost a door and part of its fuselage right in midair. It was Alaskan Airlines 1282 from Portland to California, and the door panel was completely ripped off. No serious injuries were mentioned, but the FAA then grounded 171 of the MAX airplanes. Those are the two types that crashed, one in Indonesia and the Ethiopia one. Now, those two crashes, I haven't mentioned this yet, I have to. It comes from their maneuvering characteristics augmentation system. I mentioned the software issue, the MCAS. Because the engines are bigger and they face forward, there has to be a new way to stabilize the plane. And what this system does is automatically make adjustments because the weight distribution is completely different in the new planes. The malfunction was that the MCAS system in these crashes and other near disasters came from mistaken inputs that the plane was in a nosedive. I'm sorry, the opposite. The plane wasn't a nosedive. It was that the plane was sticking too far up. And because of that, the pilots were fighting to get the plane to come up, but the computer was forcing it down into a nosedive. In other words, the MCAS was getting incorrect information that the plane was heading towards a stall because it was its rate of climb was too high, which wasn't the case, and therefore the plane was in fact over adjusting downward. And that was the exact same thing that happened in both those major crashes, and that was the software. Now that has nothing to do ultimately with what the whistleblowers were talking about. They were talking about many other things that caused the problem, but no one trusts these things anymore. However, we have to be clear that none of this is in Boeing's interest. So there has to be another set of issues here. And it comes down to oligarchy. It comes down to incompetence. And this is just scratching the surface as to what this means for the American empire, because Boeing is essential. The U.S. government cannot let Boeing fail. That's beyond, doesn't even have to be said, that the company is completely going bankrupt. Thousands of canceled orders. Whether or not that thing has been patched, I don't know. But Boeing was deceiving people as to its significance. Many other structural problems, not just software issues, but structural problems. And this has numerous causes, the nature of financialization, as well as these diversity things. The quality is not the issue, but the two go together. Anyway, I've gone way over my time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.